way back in spring training, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., in an interview with Hazel May, said that he wanted to bring the home run jacket back and that he would wear it even if nobody else wanted to wear it. So today, in a 9-2 win over the Chicago White Sox, we saw the home run jacket return. And no, not as some of you said on social media, it wasn't because it was the first home run of the year that the Jays had brought the home run jacket out tonight.
Good one.
So, well, several folks on social media weighed in and, you know, said well, they had it there all along. They just didn't hit any home runs to bring it out. Anyhow, 7 runs with 2 outs. Bo Bichette, the first home run out of the cleanup spot for the Jays this year. And, Kevin, you know, we've talked about, you know, let's just establish that the Chicago White Sox are not a very good team. And they were running out a pitcher today that of uncertain quality, shall we say. All that aside, though, 7 runs with 2 outs, lots of good approaches. We finally got to see the Blue Jays pile on runs, biggest inning of the year. And they've won a series for the first time since April 19th and 21st against the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, the Blue Jays organization all year have been saying the first 4 guys in the order need to carry this team and take them where they're ultimately going to go. Today they had 8 RBIs. They were on base 9 times. Like, you know, that's sort of recipe of how this team's going to win. You mentioned it. You know, look to me like Bo, see it, stay squared, right? It's the when his front foot lands, he's trying to clear the hips, but the shoulders still have to stay squared for him to be able to stay through different windows, different quadrants of the strike zone. The two breaking balls that he hit up the middle were balls away, right? If you don't stay through that, if you pull off like he'd been most of the year against the secondary stuff, especially the ones that are spinning down and away, you're either going to miss that, you're going to roll over, you get a little lazy pop up to right. Today he looked like he was seeing it, not over swinging with it, no matter what the count was, stay in the big part of the field, try to drive through it, and you know, maybe it'll get it in the air and good things will happen. That's sort of recipe, right? You get really good starting pitching. Your first 4 guys you order sort of carrying your lineup. You know, Davis Schneider there had a big 2-out hit in the second inning when they were scoring all those runs after the IKF sort of got big and frisky, you know, with the bases loaded on the 0-0 slider. You know, every once in a while you got to get big. He got big there, and you know, it looked like they weren't going to score any runs, and Davis Schneider gets ahead in the count, takes the fastball down the middle, gets one middle away. And, you know, with his bat speed, Jeff, he's going to get the head out on some 96 away, and that was a big hit. And sort of, you know, when you get the first couple of runs, sort of, you know, everybody can exhale, go up to the plate and be themselves. And they did that in the second inning. And, you know, hopefully with this, hopefully with the jacket, hopefully with the Chris Bassett pants pulled up, which you could tell, boy, he hated that. Like, you know,
Buck and Dan talked about that a lot. I mean, every pitch, and it was just the right leg. Like, I started keeping score how many times he went down. I'm like, dude, if it's not comfortable, change it. And like Buck and Dan said, I'm willing to bet that he's sitting there thinking about it in the second inning, but then they put up a 7 spot, and he goes, there's no way I'm screwing with this based on the way this season's gone. So, I mean, I'll put up with the with the discomfort in order to get this done. All kidding aside, though, Chris Bassett, again, the White Sox, not the best lineup, but Chris Bassett took care of business today. Now they go on to a 4-game series against Detroit. They got 3 more against Chicago and Pittsburgh. I mean, they got to go on a run. And 2 of 3 doesn't necessarily constitute a run. It may not even signify the beginning of a run. But it's a bit of a step forward this series, only in that they were able to put together – they had two big offensive games.
Yeah, Turner had a lot of
I think for this team, that's a step forward.
Yeah, Justin Turner had a lot of fight in today. You're right. It looks like time is getting a little bit better. It looks like he's starting to catch balls a little bit more out front. Bo, obviously, we've talked about that. Vladdy looks like he gets a pitch that he should be hitting. He's hitting it. Davis Schneider, you know, it's meat crush baseballs. Like, it's, you know, you like the first 4 guys in the order. Maybe some guys at the bottom of the order start getting on a little bit more. You get Danny Jansen in there. You add him to the mix. You know, it's not splitting series anymore. It's winning the series. Yep. And they're going to have to win 3 out of 4 against Detroit on the road. So, you know, hopefully this is a step in the right direction. They gain some confidence and maybe have a little something to look forward to with that jacket, Jeff. I mean, the right guy wore it for the first time this year, an old Bo Bichette.
And good, you know, he him. Just loved it. You know he
oh,
loved
you
it.
You can tell. You can
you
tell.
Can tell how much he loved it.
If it hadn't been the best pitcher on the team that was holding it, he might have said, "Nah, I'm good. Let somebody else wear it."
I was just surprised he wore it all the way to the end of the red carpet. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 9-2, the Toronto Blue Jays have taken care of the Chicago White Sox. They head off to Detroit tonight for a 4-game series against the Tigers. The good news is they will not see Tarek Skubal. Yep. And given the way things set up right now, now Jack Flaherty's no sludge this year either, but given the way things set up right now, yep, they probably won't see Paul Skenes either.
Yeah, Jeff, I want to bring this up. Whenever Nick Nastrini came out of the game and was sitting on the bench, and Pedro Grifol went over and sort of put his hands on both of his shoulders and had a conversation with him. That's big league stuff, Jeff. Like, I wanted to mention that. You know, dude was getting his face kicked in, you know, not having a couple of good games, his first couple of games as a big leaguer. And to have your manager walk over and basically say, "Hey, kid, there's been some really good pitchers get their face kicked in. You'll be all right. Keep working. Keep trying to locate. We're going to stick with you and do this kind of things." I'm assuming that's what he said. I just wanted to mention that, right? That's big league stuff. It's very hard, I'm assuming, for a manager to sort of be on the team that he's on, Pedro, and still be a teacher, understand that baseball's really hard. These dudes are trying, and he was getting his face kicked in. I just wanted to bring that up. That's pretty big league, man.
I'm glad you did, too, and Buck pointed that out as well, I think, during the telecast. He said there's something very important going on here. And absolutely, you know, it's, I mean, that's part of the game. And you do like seeing it, you know, especially given where the White Sox are right now. You know, and you could tell that we saw some shots of Nastrini. I think a lot of people have been there. A lot of people play the game
have
been there at one time or another.
Yeah.
And they know what he was going through. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Russ in New Jersey, get us started.
Good evening, guys. You know, I think if the Blue Jays would have never taken their bat off the shoulders, they would have still won that game. I think that guy threw 46 pitches that the Blue Jays didn't swing at, and 40 of them were balls. So that kid was just, you know, we had no clue, and that's what really hurt me in the second inning. Kind of fluff of swings at the first pitch. Come on. I'm not the big guy. You swing at the first one. But the guy is struggling. And then Schneider, you know, he's a second-year player. He comes up. He works the count 3-0, takes a strike, and then gets the base hit. So, you know, that guy, he had no clue where the strike zone is. I like that you said that 2 out of 3 wasn't a run. You know, last year you swept the White Sox both series. We're 6-0. But I want to say one thing that really bothers me when I listen. There's people calling up about the hitting coach. And I heard a guy call up last week. He might have been on your call line there. Oh, since Mattingly came, Bichette and Guerrero. No one knows who hitting coaches are. The L.A. Dodgers, I can ask you, you two guys are great baseball fans. Do you have any clue who the L.A. Dodgers hitting coaches? They've scored the most runs in baseball. You never see at the end of the season, "Hey, is that hitting coach a free agent? Let's give him a four-year, $80 million deal." You know, I always say when I was a kid, Charlie Law was the guy that everyone talked about. He was the genius of hitting. And he probably was a great hitting coach. And they say George Brett, he was on KC. And, you know, Lou Piniella and those guys all learned from Charlie Law. But at the end of the day, Freddie Potluck never hit 300. And your buddy Buck Martinez never was Johnny Bench. Because there's only a certain amount of things a hitting coach can do. And when you don't got the talent, you know, he can't create magic. So all these guys that want, you know, they can't name one hitting coach in the league, but they can tell me that the Blue Jays hitting coaches are terrible. The talent is really not
Russ,
there.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're right about the talent not being there. But I got to say this. The front office spent all winter telling us that the hitting coaches were going to make a difference. I mean, that was their big ad. Their big ad was that they were going to streamline information flow. They were going to do a better job of communicating with the hitters. I mean, you heard Don Mattingly mentioned more often than John Schneider all offseason. So I'm going to say that in defense of people who've been calling that up. I mean, the Blue Jays essentially promised us, whether or not we believed it, and I think most of us didn't, because most of us are the same opinion you are. You are when it comes to the hitting coach. But that was what the Blue Jays tried to sell people. I mean, they tried to sell people Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Justin Turner, and a new approach. So I can understand why fans would be reacting that way. I really can, because that's what they were told. They were told that was going to make a difference.
But if you watch baseball for all these years, does anybody know who hitting coaches are? It's a bunch of baloney. And Atkins has tried to sell us. Listen, that press conference on the weekend was a joke. You know, trying to sell people. He'll try to sell you whatever he wants. But I called maybe the fifth or sixth game of the season and said, this lineup? You got to be kidding me. So, listen, it's a long season. We're 48 games. That's about 30% of the season, exactly. So we'll see what happens from here. But like you said, you got to go win 3 out of 4 in Detroit, and you got to go sweep the White Sox. 2 out of 3 is not good. I know baseball's a tough game, but that team is terrible.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Russ. And you're absolutely right. They two out of three is the bare minimum for about the next month and a half for these guys if they want to have a chance. And
yeah,
it really
after Pittsburgh, is. After Pittsburgh, it's going to get tough again.
Correct, it is. But you know what?
You're getting in the East. Yeah,
but you're still going to have a chance. You're still going to have to win 2 of 3. You're going to have to win series against the East. I'm not saying I think it can happen, but you're going to have to do that. Otherwise, you're going to be, whatever. You're going to be a game over 500. You'll be 4 games over .500 in the blink of an eye otherwise. So,
we need to see a ton of that jacket, Jeff. A ton of that jacket.
416-870-0590, *590. 888-666-0590. The home run jacket has returned. Jimmy in Hinton, Alberta. Were you happy to see the jacket, Jimmy? Come on, I know you were happy. I know you're a cynic about these things, but you were happy to see the jacket, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was. The first time the jacket came out, I'll admit I was not a fan. I'm 53. I just wasn't a fan of it. But when I saw that jacket tonight and the Canadian flag rolling down the sleeve, I'm in. I'm sold. That jacket's got to stay. Have a good night, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jimmy. I'm sure it will. Sure it will. See,
they got to start hitting homers, Jeff.
As long as it stays the home run jacket, given the way things have gone this year, we may have a doubles jacket or something like that. But, Based on balls jacket. An underlying numbers. An exit velo. I'm waiting for the exit velo jacket. Every time you hit a ball over 103 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, you get to wear the exit velo jacket.
You like that? They won 9-2. They wore the jacket.
I know. I'm just having a little fun. The red carpet's been. I'm surprised no one. I mentioned this to you. The red carpet's been there for like a week, if not more, and nobody made a big deal about it. Now, granted, it wasn't like they were walking down it a whole hell of a lot, but it's been there. Anyhow, the home run jacket's back. All's right with the world.
I was trying to figure out how to break down swings, Jeff, while you're worrying about carpets.
I'm just saying, man. The carpet was there. Yeah. Chris and Stony Creek, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Jeff, how are you guys?
Doing well,
Great
Chris.
Show,
what's up, man?
As always. Always.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Hate on Ross Atkins show now, right? This is what this is. It is, bro. I'm telling you. And you know what? It's because the roster construction is not very good. So, it's the hate on Ross Atkins show, right? So, but the real reason why I called was, when you look at I want to comment on something you said earlier about how you've come to terms with the season, mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to baseball, and you look at the addition of the wild card, right? I think the Yankees and the Orioles are going to take, obviously, they're going to take the division, and then they're going to take one of those 2 wild card spots. So ultimately, do you think the Blue Jays are better than these 2 teams, which is the Mariners, the Twins, the Rays, and the Royals? Did I miss anybody? within that, I think.
I mean, right? So, I think Houston will be up there. Will
and the
be
Rangers,
up there pretty soon.
The Rangers
and the Rangers.
The Rangers. I miss the Rangers.
No. Right.
I miss the Rangers. You think Houston's going to straighten it out? I don't think so. I think they're going to. I think they're going to finish sub 500. I think.
But I think, I mean, they still may put themselves between the Jays and that third wild card spot. No, honestly, right now, no. I don't think they're. I think they are what their full value for their record, given the way they've hit or given the way they haven't hit. I don't look at this record and go, wow, that really doesn't reflect the type of team they are. Nope. It reflects the type of team they are right now. And that's when I say coming to terms with it, that's kind of what the way I've looked at it. Until this lineup, maybe now, maybe with Bo and Vladdy, it's shown a little bit of life. Although, again, it'd be great. I'm glad Bo hit a home run to dead center. It would have been nice to see Vladdy turn on one and put it into the 500 level this homestand.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I feel a little better about that, but I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that I think this team right now is anything better than the fifth place team in the American League East and not a playoff team, because I don't think they are. I don't
100%.
Think they are.
Let me ask one follow-up question to Mr. Kevin Barker, being a professional baseball player, okay? When it comes to Vladdy, I'm not making excuses for him at all. I'm just asking on a professional baseball level, like, how does having a big protected bat following Vladdy help him when he's at the plate? Or is that just a thing that's sort of like an excuse, you know?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Chris. Look, I think it depends on who the person is, right? I mean, we talked a lot about Teoscar and about sort of the mentorship that he would give Vladdy, right? You know, sort of they have the same swing. They're in the batting cage together. They're always together. It's like you watch me hit, I'll watch you hit. You see something you don't like, you tell me. You know, they sort of were feeding off of each other's, you know, bad at-bats to make the at-bats better, and he would be the first one to tell Vladdy, hey, stop doing that. Look for this pitch. What are you looking for here? Like, it was just a sort of back-and-forth approach between two buddies trying to be the best hitters they could possibly be. Look, I've been the first guy, and I'll continue to say this, until for me Vladdy buys into changing something he's doing with his lower half to just sort of catching balls out front on the way up. And what I mean by that is to be able to get to the bigger finish more often. You will start to see, if he was to do that, in my mind, you would start to see him pulling more balls, at least to left center, staying in the big part of the field. You know, when's the last time you saw Vladdy hit a home run at right center? It's been forever. I mean, I can't remember that. I have to go back, Jeff, and look at that. I'm sure he's done it, you know, not too far along, but it's just sort of the approach that he has and sort of, you know, how they're pitching him. To Chris's point, I'm just not sure right now. Any guy behind him would help. It would have to be that one specific guy that could help him.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. It is a winning edition. The Blue Jays have beaten the Chicago White Sox 9-2. They've taken the three-game series. Their first series win since April 19th and 21st against the San Diego Padres. We will step away and come back and hear from the skipper, John Schneider. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Trying to score in more than one inning is something we're talking about quite a bit. Pushed another couple across there with Bo's hit in the air, but you have to continue to add on once you do score, whether it's seven or whether it's one. That kind of lines everything up accordingly. And, hopefully we can kind of continue to do that. You know, it seems like we've put together big innings a lot and then kind of went a little bit cold. I like the two after the seven, obviously, but you have to keep building on leads. Again, whether it's a big inning or whether it's a, you know, one run every inning for five. So you need those at-bats, so you need guys in the bullpen to just kind of keep it where it is.
That was John Schneider talking after a 9-2 win. Seven runs scored in the second inning with two outs. Two more added on in the fourth inning on a Bo Bichette single and an error. There you go, 9-2. The Blue Jays have their first series win since April 19th, 21st.
Whoa.
against the San Diego Padres. They will start a four-game series against the Detroit Tigers tomorrow. A 6:40 first pitch from Detroit. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Sean in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, guys. If things don't go well and they have to make some moves at the trade deadline, it means that if season wasn't successful and the head office of the team didn't do a good job. So I don't think they should be the ones who are steering the next future move that'll be played out for the next couple of years. I mean, I think that decision has to come prior to them making any big decisions with regards to Bo and Vlad. I don't think Russ Atkins should be executing those type of moves if he's not the guy. And my second question is, I don't know if it's ever been done. I don't want to hear from Russ or even Mark. Does Edward Rogers ever speak to the media? Because he's in charge of the Rogers as far as Mark's boss. And I'd like to hear the Rogers viewpoint and where how they feel things have gone. I'd be more interested in hearing from him or someone from Rogers than Mark or Russ, who are just going to say the same thing all the time.
I appreciate the call, Sean. I mean, Mark speaks for the team. Mark has, Mark was trusted with, obviously other than putting the product on the field, Mark was trusted by ownership to get this ballpark in shape. And, I can't stress enough, and I know people get tired of me saying this, but it is true. I go back to when Rogers first took over the Blue Jays and brought the stadium. I mean, the stadium needed a lot of work, and it really, at the end of the day, I think they've put something probably in the neighborhood of $600 million into the stadium, and that was Mark's gig. And I think the fact that they would put him in charge of such an important project, because ultimately, the stadium is, and the revenue generated from the stadium is going to be the key in the long run to to this franchise finding success and having success. I mean, I think that just says right there how much faith ownership has in Mark Shapiro. I will admit, I would like to have heard from Mark a little more by now. I look back at the end of the off season, or I'm sorry, I look back at the end of last season and the way it finished, and think back to Ross Atkins' news conference. Did absolutely nothing. And it did absolutely nothing to satisfy anybody after that loss to the Minnesota Twins. I mean, it just didn't. If anything, it poured fuel under the fire. If anything, it created even more confusion. A couple of days later, Mark came out, had his media availability, and while we didn't get answers to all the questions we wanted to get answers to, I think people left that news conference, Kevin, I remember listening to it, understanding things a little more. Mark is very good at that, and it's entirely possible, it's entirely possible people don't want to hear from Ross anymore. I said this yesterday. I've said it in other shows. I don't think he has the trust of the fan base. And the caller's question is interesting, Kevin, because we've talked about it. You've got significant decisions to make with this team if this thing keeps going poorly.
Yep.
Is Ross the guy you want making that call?
Well, especially if you have to give up or try and trade the core, which is
sure.
Do you have confidence in Ross to do that and maximize what you're going to get back? And you can understand why fans would be scratching their head if that was allowed to take place.
And I'm going to say
I would be shocked if they allow that.
I'm going to say this. If things get to the point where we are seriously talking about what do you do with Bo and Vladdy, not that it's not serious now, but if we're getting to the point where we're starting to formulate trades or trying to plot things out to open the next window for the Blue Jays, I think Mark has as much of a role in that, if not more of a role in that, than Ross Atkins.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, that's sort
and
of
Mark's changing. Got one more year left in his contract.
Yeah, it's changing the shape of your organization, and I would think that would come from the top and the very top.
This is Beau Bichette, asked about the home run jacket, how much fun it was to put it on again.
We got to see you put on the home run jacket for the first time in a while. What went into this decision to bring that back for the team?
It was just kind of spur of the moment, honestly. Just felt like it was something we should do, and we did it.
John was saying that it's something that can kind of spur on more team chemistry or unite you guys. Do you think that it can help in that way?
I don't think it has anything to do with if we play good or not, but yeah, I mean, that's why we brought it, because I think it could help in a way.
That is God love Beau Bichette. That is Beau Bichette.
Tremendous. He's trying, boy. He's trying. I love him. He's great.
I do too. I really do.
They should give him a 5-year deal.
Yeah, I would too. He's fundamentally incapable of not telling the truth. He really is. He can't.
He said it had nothing to do with me hitting a home.
And on that note, 9-2, the Blue Jays emerge victorious over the Chicago White Sox. They're in Detroit tomorrow. We'll be back with Blue Jays talk following tomorrow's game. Blair and Barker, as always, from 4 to 6 Eastern at Sportsnet 590, the Fan at Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Chatham and Wallaceburg. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.